Welcome to Good Beer Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Welcome everyone. Tonight is episode number one of Good Beer Bad Movie Night.
Woo! Yay!
That is ding, 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 ding. So very enthusiastic. Yay. Thank you.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, you got a nap for that? Oh, God.
Yay!
That's in the way.
Let's not ever, ever do that again.
I can't stop it! Oh, my God.
Never do that again.
Take four!
No, we're rolling.
Host my own guitar.
Yes.
Wait, that makes sense. I'm gonna put the back in my pocket and pull it out when it's actually out, people.
Ew. Episode number one, everybody.
Aren't you so glad you tuned in?
I'm gonna go off script. So we have a round table of hosts tonight. My name is Pete, and we have with us
Troy,
Kathleen,
Dave,
and I'm Pete. Wait, I said that.
Wait, is that Pete or repeat?
I don't know.
Ah.
Okay, well.
Now you know what you're in for.
We haven't even gotten to the nasty stuff yet. So, with episode number one, I just want to let everybody know that we saw a wonderful movie today. Our feature presentation was a 1980 film called Hawk the Slayer, starring John Terry and Jack Palance. And a couple of folks of note, it was the beginning of the sword and sorcery, sword and sandal movies of the 80s, which there were 39 movies that were of some sort of sword and sorcerer.
39?
39.
The entire decade of the 80s?
1980s.
Or just
like... There were 39. That
seems low to me.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was incredibly high because the 70s, there were only three in the 70s. And I believe in the 90s, there were less than a dozen.
Hmm.
That we know of.
That Wikipedia told me.
Okay. 39. Now I feel like I need to...
I know, like, Dragon Slayer.
Yep.
And Sword and the Sorcerer.
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans.
Both Conan movies.
Krull. Conan the Barbarian. Conan the Destroyer.
Highlighter. Highlighters. Yes.
Highlighter. Glue stick. Felt tip pen.
It's sword and magic, sort of.
Protractor.
Right. Sorry. So, but anyway, there were 39. I think Ator had a sequel. How? I don't know. There were an enormous amount in the 80s.
Beastmaster.
Beast.
I'm sorry, I'm still going through. Like,
Oh God, now I'm thinking about it. We've probably named about 10 right there, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
at least 10.
So, I don't know why. Maybe special effects were getting a little better in the 80s. That and creature effects were getting better, where things were affordable and a little more realistic. I don't know the reason why there were so many, but it dropped. The bottom fell out of that. That genre right away when the 90s hit because bleh.
Well, you know,
because it was so successful. I mean, think about all of these films you've just named.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans and Conan, maybe.
Yeah.
And those are the only successful ones.
But Conan was around since like the 30s, so it had.
Right, but you're talking about the movie.
A fan base, that's true. But I'll, you
Lady
know
Hawk.
What? Oh, yeah.
It just came to mind.
Yeah, Rucker Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, yeah. But now that I'm thinking about it, wasn't the 80s, like the early 80s, late 70s, wasn't that when the big hubbub about Dungeons and Dragons came out?
Right.
It is.
Really
it is.
Worried
that's
about whether or not it was like a
Gary
cult.
Gary Gygax was...
Yes.
That very well could be, Dave. We'll say, yeah.
Willow! 88. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But not, it just now occurred to me, because I'm thinking to myself, like, when we saw the movie, and we'll talk about that in a bit, like, I was reminded of when I played D&D, like, all the character classes and the races and stuff like that, and this is essentially just an adventuring group.
It felt like it was put together by an adventuring group.
Fear not, ranger,
we'll
barbarian,
get to that.
Magician, thief,
it's
cavalier, and acrobat.
It's the movie version of Gauntlet.
Yeah!
But I never thought of it that way. Yeah, the D&D came... Was that Advanced D&D? Was that the first edition?
Well, I mean, it's been around
D&D?
For a while, but like, I think that's when it really
hit.
Like,
you go into
like,
Barnes & Nobles and there was like the D&D section, you know? Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see them at any bookstores. I mean, you might see like a character, like a player handbook, but like I had to go to specialty stores when I like to get the like the second edition AD&D. But that was like early 90s.
Right. Well, I take it back. It wasn't Barnes & Noble. It was Walden Books.
Yes! Or B. Dalton. Oh, man. God, my series.
Yeah.
It does. So the budget for this film was $5 million.
Really?
Wow. Where did that money go?
Where did that money go?
All the neon candles.
Yeah, yeah.
All the Roman candles.
Yeah. And I could not find any sort of box office, probably because it's been wiped from the face of the earth. I don't want to tell you exactly how much money we made because it sucked.
Oh, wow.
What else about this? That's the hubbub. Just a little bit about Hawk the Slayer. Stars, again, Jack Palance, Patricia Quinn, John Terry, who was Hawk, William Morgan Shepherd. Those were the four folks that I recognized.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who William Morgan Shepherd is, yeah, you do.
You do. Everything. Mm-hmm. You at the very least, you know his voice.
Yep.
You might not recognize him, but the minute he speaks, he's been in. But what has he been in? Everything.
Yeah, he did a lot of voice acting.
Funny, I knew him from Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah, that's right. The first, when you Google his name, that's the first movie that comes up, is that one.
As soon as he started talking, I went, why does Elvira come to mind?
Yeah. Well, his son is Mark Shepherd, who plays Crowley on Supernatural.
No way! Really? Mm-hmm. No idea.
Yep.
Hawk the Slayer was originally supposed to be a trilogy, even before the other stuff in the 2000s.
Oh yeah.
It was planned to be an actual trilogy, and it bombed so bad at the box office that they went, never mind.
Yeah.
They definitely set it up that way.
It set it up very much.
Yeah, definitely left it open.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it took long for people to shut the door on that one real fast.
Yeah, it
had so much potential. There's all, just watching it, like, okay, full disclosure, I had seen Hawk the Slayer before this, and before we had watched it several years ago. Like, I watched it as a kid, and I loved it because I was a kid and dumb. And now I'm an adult and only slightly annoying. Less dumb.
That's but pretty accurate.
I watched it, and it just hit all the notes that I liked as a kid, and it hits a lot of the notes that I like as an adult when it comes to movies. Like, there's a storyline that's very common. It's the... And we can talk about this later. Do you want to talk about this now?
Get out of your system.
Okay. The ragtag band of misfits that get together and then accomplish X. Mm-hmm. I've always loved that. Mm-hmm. Always. Like everything from, you know, The Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, The Goonies, Red Dawn. Actually. If you haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, go see Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
We literally saw it today.
Yeah. Like, run, don't walk, and go see Wonder Woman.
So, that is the film that we saw, and we will certainly get more into it later. But since this is Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, we need beer. So
yes, I need something to drown the memory of this movie out of my brain.
Fair enough. So, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have our first beer for the night.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
We are back. Hit it. Whoops.
Hit it better than that.
Missed.
Do you know what you're doing?
It's a new bottle opener. I haven't tried it out. Don't have the feel yet.
But as a bottle opener, you know how to open a bottle. You've seen other people do it before.
You folks have glasses next to you.
That was mean. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Hand them over, please. Tonight's feature brewery is Duvel. It's a Finnish beer. We are consuming their flagship Belgian Golden. As soon as I get done pouring this, I'll tell you a little bit more. We're drinking out of a 750 milliliter giant friggin' bottle. But this is a Belgian Golden. Belgian beers, they've got the rainbow of flavors. They can do all sorts of things. They can be malty, they can be light in flavor, but they always have lots of different kinds of florals. They're pretty effervescent. They should be served a little warmer than than refrigerator temperature, you'll have things like clove, you'll have banana, and it's been a while since I've had Duvel, so I suppose we should just drink this. But if you see a Belgian beer, there are a myriad of different types, different styles. You usually have quads and Duvels and triples, and each one is a little bit different.
They also do a lot of lambics, don't they? Like the fruit beer? No, not Duvel, Belgian.
Yes, the Belgians certainly do. Yeah, the Frambois line is a Belgian beer.
Yeah.
What did you call this? A golden...
Belgian golden ale.
Golden ale.
I honestly don't know where to begin. Like, most of the time when I taste beer, like, and I've been doing it for years, first thing I do is try to find out what it tastes like, and I'm just kind of, I don't know what the first impression is.
There's a lot going on.
It doesn't look like there should be. Like, it's really straw color light.
Pretty clear. It's unfiltered.
Yeah, it looks pretty clear.
So it's a little foggy, but not as unfiltered as, say, an American wheat.
Right. A lot more head than what you're used to in an American beer.
There's usually a nice plume of head when you pour this guy. It should have a nice thick head on it, and it should retain it. But yes, Dave, go ahead.
I can't.
And then you put the head lightly in your mouth.
Fellatio. There, I said it. So you can't throw around like head. It's got good head. And head with the head.
I could call it
and
Queen
testicles.
Of Anne's Lace, but everyone's going to say, what a fucking beer nerd.
So I can't resist the joke. I'm apparently fine.
It's too easy.
Right? It's just too easy.
Maybe just a little.
And it's got a great set of testicles.
What?
I don't know, I got nothing.
Maybe just a little clove to it?
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit?
It's this is a nice summer beer, yet it doesn't have, like, some of the Belgians can just go crazy with the flavors. Right. But this guy is real nice.
Soft?
You can drink a bunch of them. It is soft. It is pillowy.
Like pillowy?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
pillowy. That's
uh-huh.
a great word for it. Pillowy, cottony.
But it is to be respected.
Foamy, moosey?
8.5%.
Wow, I wouldn't
have guessed.
No heat at all to it, is there?
Yeah, because normally at 8%, my tongue would be like humming right now with
mm-hmm.
the head.
In your mouth?
In my mouth.
the
pillowy head in my mouth.
Thank you.
Until I ejaculate. Anyway. No, I...
Ew.
Like, no, normally there's like a hotness on the tongue, like a tingling.
Yep.
I'm getting none of that here. This would have been really dangerous.
Yeah, the Belgians know what they're doing. And the dog is joining us for a drink.
She's like, this is delicious.
But this is really enjoyable. I could drink a lot of this. At least I think I could drink a lot of it. Until
you could drink one of those 750s, and then you would be done.
Yeah.
I think
or you should be done.
I think you might be right.
You might not know right away you're done.
The rest
Let's break
open
the tequila.
Yeah.
We are not opening up the tequila. We learned our lesson.
This is based on actual events.
Yeah. We did have aspirations of being productive while drinking beer, and the tequila came out, and there was no... that we shut the door on that one.
Productivity went out the door.
The Duvel does do a few different kinds of beers, and we will be trying another one.
Oh, sweet. I like
it
this
is a
one.
Limited release that I have that's coming up next. I'm very excited about it. Have not had it, and I'm not even sure how long it's been out. If this might be the first run of it, I did read somewhere that Omegang Brewery brews Duvel here in the United States.
Brews Duvel?
A lot of breweries overseas will hire a contract brewery here in the United States to brew and distribute their beers.
Huh.
Because it's much cheaper to do that than ship
it
over
my
boat.
Sorry. Whew. I might have been indulging.
Guinness does it. Guinness has I don't even know who does it for Guinness. They might even own their own brewery, but I'm quite positive they have a brewery in Canada somewhere. So everything in North America from Guinness is brewed in Canada, last I knew. that could have changed, but there's no way the St. James Gate can possibly keep up with the worldwide demand.
Well, also shipping Guinness really affects the Guinness, doesn't it? If I remember
in hearing that. In a keg or in a can, not so bad. In a bottle, yeah, you can...
Oh, that's why you don't drink bottles with Guinness.
Even the draft bottles? Because they're opaque, I think. Or very close.
They are. Even brown bottle beer can... It's more the cap that isn't a 100% perfect seal.
Okay.
Whereas a can and a keg both are.
And they have their widgets in them, too.
Right. Yes, to give you that nitrogen.
I do like the canned Guinness. Does a pretty good job.
It does a very good job. I'm just now looking up that, yeah, indeed, Omegang Brewery out of New York does brew Duvel for distribution in North America.
So this is probably from New York, then. It's really good, actually. I'm still trying to figure out what it tastes like. You're right. It's got a lot of flavor.
But it's all very soft, so it's all kind of in the background. Yeah, There's nothing really going on. A lot of the high carbonation rate in this is confusing to a lot of palates.
Yeah.
Where you get a lot of bubbles on there, and you're like, oh my God, I can't sort it out.
Creamy, and I guess, like, I mean,
it is
I've
a little
it for
creamy,
a while.
Isn't it? Yeah, you're right.
And it's warmed up a little bit since I started drinking it, and now I'm getting, like, maybe... Not sour apple, but like apple that's not real sweet, but not real tart.
I taste a little bit of banana flavor too.
Yeah, that's the clove.
Yeah,
it's like a super lager. Though. It's like because I get some lager to it. Mm-hmm. Like
it has that tight carbonation.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Simple flavor but this has an added deliciousness. So.
Yeah. So yes, this is my favorite that I think we've had on the show so far. Well, I guess it's the
of all the attempts.
Of all the one show we've done.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're one for one. Yay!
Yay!
Bat in a thousand.
That's not the same beer.
No, it's not.
We're mixing up our beers now. Anyway, so that is this is the flagship of Duvel. This is what they sell the most of. This is their Bud Light, their Budweiser, it's easy to find in the United States. The larger bottles, like the liter bottles, will come corked. This one, I was surprised to find this one had a bottle cap on it. And it was an extra large bottle cap, too, because the neck is a little bigger, which is, I think, why your
my army man has
a
problem.
Yeah, your bottle opener. Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah, that is big. That's what she said. That's not what she said.
So our feature presentation today, as we move along, is Hawk the Slayer. From 1980, starring John Terry from 24, Lost in CSI, and Jack Palance from all sorts of westerns.
Shane, City Slickers,
the original Batman,
yeah.
Michael Keaton Batman.
He did get an Oscar for City Slickers, is that correct?
I believe so. As a supporting
Curly.
One-arm push-ups. Oh, the one-arm push-ups,
yeah. The push-ups. I said that earlier, and then Kathleen was like, he did? And I was like, I think so? And I
that was at the Oscars, though. He didn't do it in City Slickers.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He did it on live TV, because he's badass.
Because he's a badass. And he is a badass. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's like 6'4". He was a... So Jack Palance, I don't even know where the hell I was.
He's a big dog. Jack Palance is a big dude.
God damn it, Troy. Done, sir. Jack Palance is a big dude. I think he's like 6'4 or something like that.
Yeah.
He was in the army. I think he was in World War II or something. Anyway, he's very old in this movie.
Yes.
In 1980.
In 1980, he's very old.
Yeah. Right. Which I thought was funny when he said to the first guy that he was his eldest son. And I was like, what? You're the same age as that dude.
He was only a year or two off.
Yeah. Which I know, like, stuff like that happens in the movies all the time, but it was like, usually they try harder to cover up the lack of age difference.
Okay. Well, we're going to summarize this wonderful movie.
I'm going to hit the timer.
Oh, yeah.
You have
okay,
5 minutes.
I got 5 minutes to get through this, okay?
Yep. Ready?
Yep. All right.
Set.
Deep breath.
Go.
Okay, so Jack Palance, his name is Voltan. Not Voltron, I read Voltron written down. Son of a bitch. 5 minutes, right. Voltan kills his father at the beginning of the film, and Hawk comes into the room too late to save him. As his Voltan flees, and as Hawk's father is dying, Hawk is given a magic sword. And then we cut to a weird scene where there's a battle that is failing, and this guy Renulf, who is the other dude, William Morgan Shepherd, is fleeing the battle. His hand had been cut off, and he is fleeing the battle to save his life, and he stumbles upon a convent, a nunnery, where the sisters aid him and bring him in and heal him up and feed him alcohol or something. Voltan has a witch, and the witch tells him where Renulf is. So Voltan goes and finds the convent, breaks in, and instead of finishing the job with Renulf, he decides that he's going to kidnap the head nun and hold her for ransom for 2,000 gold. Doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's 2,000 gold. Whatever. So Renulf wants to help the convict, the convent. And he goes off to find Hawk the Slayer. As he's trying to find Hawk the Slayer, Hawk is running around through the woods and rescues a, I've written down, Triclops. If anybody is a He-Man of the Masters of the Universe special.
Oh my god.
This is Patricia Quinn, who's in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He saves the witch from a burning, and the witch tells Triclops, tells Hawk that, has a vision, tells Hawk that he must seek out a one-handed man, obviously, Renulf. Hawk rescues, Renulf gets himself in trouble with some bandits, and of course Hawk is there to save him, and the Fellowship of the Rings is formed. Hawk and Renulf travel back to Triclopsis, and the Triclops helps Hawk. It's very confusing. I'm sorry. Triclops helps Hawk collect the rest of the Fellowship of the Rings, a giant, a dwarf, and an elf. So how the witch helps Hawk is she puts Hawk the Slayer in the Phantom Zone. And transports him to each the giant, the dwarf, and the elf, and rescuing is ensued, and the Fellowship of the Ring is finally formed with the one-handed man, Triclops, Hawk, giant, dwarf, and elf. I'm not even going to try their names. Fellowship returns to the convent, and Hawk tells the nun that he doubts that Voltan's going to leave without hurting anybody after he gets his ransom of 2,000 gold. The new nun in charge insists that this 2,000 is paid so they can get the headmistress back. So there's some headbutting going on there.
How much time I got left? You don't even know.
1:05.
Oh shit! It is then revealed that Hawk that Voltan killed Hawk's fiance in a jealous rage at one time. So they are brothers, as you said, and there's an extra bit of headbutting going on there because the fiance was killed by Voltan. Hawk refuses to pay the ransom, and as Voltan advances onto the convent, the head nun in charge makes a secret backdoor deal, Dave, with Voltan for a safe return of the real head nun.
And I met the head nun through the back door.
Yeah. The new stuff. Head nun agrees to Voltan's plan and goes back to the convent, and Bill Cosby's the rest of the fellowship. Voltan and crew raid the convent and kill the current head nun and demands the gold. After Voltan brags about his impending victory, son of a bitch, all seems lost. Triclops swoops in at the last second, rescues the Fellowship of the Rings. Voltan and Hawk have a final battle. Hawk is victorious, and Hawk and the giant ride off into the sunset to look for more adventures. I was just a few seconds
over. Just a little bit. Maybe 5.5 minutes.
So that is... There were some references in there.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm hoping...
My favorite is the Phantom Zone. Oh, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah. Well, because she transports them by putting him inside the twirling neon hula hoops.
Yes.
And that's like...
Much like the Phantom Zone.
In the original Superman.
In the original Superman, which is like...
Kneel before Zod.
When you said that, I was like, that's where I saw that.
Yeah.
That's where it...
So did Superman steal that from...
Superman's 78, I thought. So this totally stole it from Superman.
Yeah.
That might have been the same hoops. No, it wouldn't have been because they had to hold three.
The hoops, yeah.
Yeah.
One broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was wobbly toward the end there.
The props people in this movie, the CGI, for lack of a better term, team, really enjoyed coloring things neon, glowy color to make them seem... Like they
magic.
Had magic or power. Like
there was a lot
I saw
of...
some fingernails that looked that way. There were the Phantom Zone hoops. There was that whole ping pong ball. Like, I will fling these. I mean, she even had a word for them. And I
blazing balls of
missed
light
it. Yeah, it was something. And I was like, oh my God, she just shot like 1,000 ping pong balls into the room. And then a snow machine. It's like, what is happening in
this
movie?
There was like, and then when Baldron, the dwarf, who's the dwarf, so spoiler alert, gets killed, like they lay out his grave and they're like, now no animals will.
Yeah, they put like
and there's
force
like all these
field
like,
over it.
There's a force field and all these glowing balls like sitting on the grave. It's like, force field probably would have been enough. So maybe the glowing balls are making the force field. Who knows? But like, it's crazy what we're seeing.
There was a lot of animation done to emphasize magic.
Yeah.
And it was all neon colors because it's the 80s.
Right,
yeah,
right.
There's a lot of choices that I thought. Okay.
Go for it.
Going back to what I was thinking, I mean, the movie, with a few tweaks, or there would have been big tweaks, but only a few of them. And this movie actually would have been really awesome. It kind of is still awesome to me, but I'm sensing some dissenting opinions here.
I can't wait to hear what you
say. Kevin looks pained.
But like this, okay. Okay, the movie was wretched, first of all. I get it. Because it's bad, and I get that. But okay, I realize this is probably one of the first movies in a foray into the foray of a wider genre, milieu, whatever you want to call it, of swords and sorcery movies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the first steps into that, and people are still kind of feeling it out, trying to figure out, you know, what's hokey, what works. But like, okay, the music choices.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first thing I thought.
Yes.
Like the synth and the rock guitar and like the rock.
Was it Duran Duran did the soundtrack?
I don't know, but they should.
Harry
Robertson. That's insulting to Duran.
Harry Robertson.
I'm sorry, Duran Duran.
So,
Sign of the Bond, please forgive me.
Just the moment that I was writing down 80s keyboard music, weird choice. Then it set and like was during the credits, and then like I look up, and it's like music by Harry Robertson. I was like, oh, music by Harry Robertson. Nice job, Harry. Oh, and Harry Robertson's the producer. And the writer of the screenplay. Some things are coming together.
He's
now.
He's trying to John Carpenter this
movie,
isn't he?
Except unlike John Carpenter, this guy sucks.
Well, and like our version of it that we were watching, and granted this could be because it's, you know, 30 years old or whatever, all of the like mystical scenes where he's like running through the woods or whatever and there's no dialogue, the music is like 10 times louder than the rest of the movie. So it's like, I mean, I'll admit it's part of the reason I stayed awake for as long as I did, because I just start to drop off because of the stilted dialogue when will come on. It's like, oh my God, okay, we're still watching this movie. Jesus, why are we still watching this movie?
It's a sign of a good movie when it keeps you from sleeping by jarring you.
No, that is the exact opposite of the sign of a good movie. Oh, so bad.
But the movie, the music choices. The music choices, had they taken a more traditional approach to music, like more orchestrated music, more symphonic style music, because even like 3 years before that, with Star Wars, they made a conscious decision to do a more traditional theme, like traditional score, rather than like synth music or something futuristic, which would have fit the genre. So you would think, well, you know, this is traditional fantasy, as opposed to Star Wars, which is space fantasy,
right?
And not sci-fi. And we can
talk
about
that. You
could
argue Star Wars is sword and sorcery.
It is swords and sorcery. I'm in the swords and sorcery camp for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
but if they had made different musical choices, I feel like things would have cohered a little bit better.
Oh yeah.
It would have been less distracting.
Better script choices.
Kathleen might have been able to get sleep.
Right.
Finally.
I totally could have taken her van.
And then
the worst part of this for Kathleen is the movie kept her up.
True story.
If only the movie would allow me to slip into the sweet embrace of sleep.
Well, I mean, like, a script, dialogue, and acting aside.
Everything about the movie aside, the movie was great.
The very first thing, like, Voltan, Jack Palance, comes in and kills his father, his own father.
Who looks 5 minutes older than him.
Yeah,
right.
Very much.
And then runs out, and the brother comes right in behind, Hawk, and cradles his dying father, and, like, the amount of, like, oh, no, my dad's dying that comes out of that scene is like, so, you know, Dad, like, what's with the sword? Can, like, that's cool. And he's like, yes, take what's in there, and, like, they do this ceremony where he gets the sword and its magic powers that will leap into his hand from across the room.
Oh, yeah. It's Jedi powers.
Oh, yeah. There's... Exactly. Back to the sword and sorcery for Star Wars.
Well, the sword had a name. It was, like, the Mind Sword?
The Mind Sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was that stone.
It was an elfin stone.
It was an elfin mind stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that... Because when the sword first came off the wall, it was, like, a closed fist. And then Dad took something out of the pouch and held it in the hand, and then then you see the sword is holding that stone. That's what gives it its power.
And there's this scene where he's like, the dad's dying, he's like, I don't have much time, look into the heart of the stone. And like, there's a long scene of him just holding the stone, like staring at it, and then it glows, and I could just hear like a power up, level up.
Yeah.
And then the dad like collapses, and he's like, and Hawk, you know, because he's the stoic badass, then walks over, he's like, oh, I'll just go play with my new sword. And he's like, puts his hand out, and the sword leaps into his hand, and he's like, Voltan, you will die by the sword! And then they go to 80s synthesizer music. This is awesome.
Did we all notice, I'm sure actually we all had to have noticed, that every time Hawk appeared, there was a little flute?
Yes.
I can't, you know, but, and that I hated and both loved and loved that at the same time. I hated and loved that at the same time, because had it not been there, you know what, I would have been totally fine. I would have lived a full and productive life and died a happy man. But the fact that it just kept happening and happening and happening, like, I couldn't not laugh at it, and that just added to the fact that I did like this turd of a movie. That's all I got. What a good story, Dave.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hey,
how did you like it?
I did not like this movie.
What did you like about it?
I have a sneaky suspicion
that you're not going to like a lot of these.
Right. I was just going to say, we know that this whole concept of watching a movie that we know is bad on purpose is just so foreign to me. Like, it's like, but they had
every intention of making a good movie,
right? Totally.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna see the lost skeleton of Kadabra, which was
is that a good movie?
No, it's terrible because it tries to be a bad movie.
Oh,
oh.
And it is so disappointing.
Right, but I don't know. Like, there were some things... I know, I have a super squeaky chair today. I'm sorry. Like, why did we cast Jack Palance as the bad guy and then cast the dad that was the exact same age as him and not work that out a little bit? Or if as the writer, director, music person for the movie is... got their heart set on Jack Palance because they're a giant fan of Shane and they're so lucky that they've gotten him, which I totally can understand, then don't make him the dad. Make him, or the brother, make him the uncle. Like, they could, you know, like, change one word. He could still do everything that he did in this movie, and it takes one completely stupid aspect out of the film and makes it make more sense. You know what I mean? So it's those kind of choices. And the guy that played Hawk, I'm losing.
John Terry.
Yes. Who was on Lost as Jack's dad. And as soon as he came on screen, I was like, oh my God, it's Jack's dad. And Troy was like, what? I go, from Lost. It's totally Christian Shepherd. He was like, oh, okay. That dude is not a bad actor. This is probably one of his first films, I'm going to guess. But it was awful in this movie. It was super stilted. It was like, you know, there were a couple places where I was like, is he reading cue cards? Like, what is happening? And there were a couple funny, like, moments in the movie where it was like, the director or cinematographer or somebody is trying to be really artsy and purposeful with their camera thing. There was one scene where... Hawk is standing, like, as you're watching the film, Hawk is standing to the right side in profile. The camera is facing forward into a full room, and it was like, you could see all the members of the fellowship.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, one of them was standing up on a step, but it was like, he's on one step, and then his other leg is up on the next step, and he's like, hand on the hip. And then there's another guy who's sitting on the top of a table with his feet the bench. You know, it's all very composed or whatever. But Hawk is standing closest to the camera in profile, and everyone kind of says something, but every time, like, someone will say something, and then he has a line. And then someone says something, and then he has a line. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, to make this black and white and put it in German. like, that's what it reminded me of. It's like that kind of, like, super intense film or whatever. And I was like, what the hell is happening?
But those moments, like, and would you, okay, the guy, I mean, his name, the Terry Perry.
John Terry?
Yeah, thank you. And Jack Palance, and like the, and there were actually some good, they're good actors.
Yes, yes.
It was just shit directing.
Totally.
And what you were saying, like that moment of like he was really trying hard to get that moment to land.
And you shit the bed.
He maybe should have tried on all the shots, not just that one.
Something. It was something. And, like, I understand that, you know, the glowy green ping pong balls of magic or whatever probably in 1980 looked really cool. And
did it?
I don't know, because I was 4, so I probably would have been impressed in 1980. I'd be like, whoa, look at that. But, you know, I don't know.
I'm not sure. After seeing Star Wars, I think that would look silly.
Mm. It
I
might.
Think it would totally look silly. I would have been 7 at that point.
Yeah.
And I did see Star Wars in the theater. I remember the journey to Star Wars more than I remember the film.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see it. And I probably saw it in 79, not in 77 when it originally came out.
Right.
But I'm quite sure if I had seen this after Star Wars, I would have gone, what the fuck are you guys doing? Stop that.
But there's also like, there was... Before that, I mean, there was like Buck Rogers, there's Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, even on TV it was better.
What was that? The one that was supposed to come out right around the same time as Star Wars, like Space 1999? No, that's...
That was before Star Wars, I think.
But, I mean, there was other effects movies out there, or right. effects shows. Battlestar Galactica is the first one that comes to mind, and like that would have... Even as hokey as that was, that
worked. I'd say Star Trek.
Yeah, Star right. Trek, Logan's Run, like,
yeah,
they worked.
Yeah.
I don't know what the choices were. I think it just seemed like this was everybody who was part of the film was so excited to be making a film that they didn't quite know what they were doing. Just kind of jumping from
one to
the other.
People making the movie were not the people acting it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not terribly
there were
thrilled.
Some pretty accomplished actors.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
It felt like it was made by somebody that really liked playing Dungeons and Dragons, but hadn't really thought much about, like, story craft. Because, like, it's like, the whole movie is, let's cut to a shot of Voltan being horrible evil, and then we'll cut to a shot of Hawk being steely badass, and then cut back to Voltan being evil. And that was the whole movie.
Yes.
And, like, the perfect example is him gathering his crew, where it's just like Hawk sitting in the Phantom Zone rings, and should like poof, and he goes off, and like they're in the middle of about to be killed or something,
yeah.
And then Hawk strides in and like will stare the guy down. Like there was a lot of staring, like Clint Eastwood eyes staring,
yeah,
back and forth, and
also accompanied with a flute.
You needed, well, right. That's what I was gonna say. You needed that, like, that Western whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, those introductions, I get it. They were, each situation was a situation where like they were trying to explain why the person he was recruiting was good.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I'm thwarting this bad guy who's about to, you know, rob this person or burn this witch. Or get burned himself for being a dwarf, apparently.
Right, that's the only thing I could figure out, too. I was like, I don't understand why. And because the guy that played the dwarf isn't actually someone with dwarfism.
He is a very short person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think he is officially a dwarf.
I don't believe
or
so.
A little person, whatever.
And the guy that played the giant was a very tall person.
He was 6'7".
Right.
That's a big dude.
Yeah.
That, yes. But they didn't do anything to enhance those differences, except for when the little short guy was standing next,
yep,
to the really tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, oh, because I had no names for people in this movie other than Hulk and Voltron, which is what I wrote every time, too. I was like, all right, it's Hulk,
Hulk and Voltron.
And I was like, it's the Archer dude, because I was saying something to Troy on the way over, and he was like, oh, yeah. So-and-so, and he said the guy's name, and I was like, no, that's Elf Dude. Archer Dude is the guy who loses his hand. Crowley's dad. He's like, oh, okay.
Crowley's dad. Like, where his uncle?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or one of the really bad guys from MacGyver. That's how I knew him. Don't ask me why.
Yeah.
Shepard was a MacGyver dude? Or MacGyver villain?
Yeah, the guy with one hand, repeating crossbow.
Yeah.
Bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the bad guys in MacGyver, and he was a really bad guy. I remember
he's got
that
the voice
word. Yeah, he's also a really mean Klingon in Star,
yes,
Trek VI.
Yes,
yes,
and he was also in the Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Was he?
Yeah, he was on the Vulcan Council.
Cool.
I remember that because I remember seeing him because he had a lot of lines, and I'm like,
voice.
And when I saw him,
yeah,
in the movie in Hulk and Slayer, I was looking at him like without a beard. Yep,
mm-hmm,
that's him. But they just, I mean, just forgetting everything.
Right. Is anybody else old enough? You are, Troy.
Yes, I'm.
To wonder.
Way
Troy's
old.
Always old
to
enough.
To wonder when Jack Palance was going to say, believe it.
I remember that.
In every line that he says, I was like, I just killed my dad.
Believe it.
Believe it. Or not.
I remember that.
So I remember that show.
The whole time I'm like, please, say it! Just say it, please.
This might predate that.
It
does.
I
think it does.
Or maybe ran concurrently.
Because
I remember Ripley's Believe It or Not back,
yeah,
in the 80s.
Yeah,
I
do too.
Like early 80s.
Right.
And
this
82?
Is 80, so.
Yeah. But I do remember thinking when Jack Palance was in Batman, he's like, you are my number one guy.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it. So not. I'm a little ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, can we talk about the weapons?
Yes.
Okay.
So we had the Jedi sword that can fly into your hand.
Yes.
The Mind Sword, yes.
Right, the Mind,
yes,
Sword. That
with
a
green,
really,
fist,
yes,
on it.
An unremarkable, yeah, aluminum foil looking sword.
Yes.
It was a sword plus +2.
It was just a +2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're not like talking to like a +5 for the Avenger.
No,
he's not a paladin anyway. He can't.
No.
Right.
But it would have to have some sort of telekinesis.
It was a sword of returning.
Oh!
How about that?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
There it is. That's it. Sword +2.
Sword of returning +2, wielded by Hawk, who had a high charisma.
Did he?
No.
He stole Voltron's girlfriend, so.
Oh, that's right. That's another thing.
The flashback.
That was another setup of why he had to.
Well, yeah, that was.
We didn't figure
the
subplot.
That was so
unnecessary.
Oh yeah.
I gotta
make sure that these brothers hate each other. So we're gonna do these three.
Killing the
dad's
not enough.
Killing dad wasn't enough.
Yeah.
He's gotta kill his wife first.
Killing the dad, ransacking villages, maiming and killing everybody that he meets. That's horseplay. He's gonna kill this guy's wife. In
so,
three flashbacks that totally don't connect at all.
Yeah,
not really. It gives backstory, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Kathleen already talked about the ping pong balls.
Yes.
And the snow.
And the snow. I also enjoyed the fully automatic arrow shooter.
Crossbow.
And
so we had the man with one hand. The man with the one hand had a semi-automatic crossbow.
Yeah.
And
I think it's fully automatic. Oh, okay. He just held down and it went
one right after the other. One right after, and he made that, I think. At the beginning of the film. Is that what they were trying to convey?
I don't know. I mean, he was running in the forest heading for the nunnery to begin with, he had a crossbow in his hand, which is why I called him Crossbow Dude when I wrote my notes down about him. Because you know, I was just like, oh, okay, guy running with a crossbow. Let's see this guy. He's crossbow dude until I find out what his name is, which I never did. So, but
the effect, what was on screen was just run back.
Yes.
Yeah. It was advance, return, advance, rewind, advance, rewind. Pew.
Yeah.
So he shot once.
Right.
And they just reversed it 12 times.
Right.
Same way with Crow, the elf. Shooting arrows.
It was basically a gif that returns
to
the beginning.
Yes, that's what it was. A really fast gif.
Yeah.
He was trying to be Legolas, and
Crow,
that's the only way they could do it.
You're right. Crow did the same thing. I was
with the regular bow and arrow.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right. I also liked the what did you call her? The lady with the three eyes.
Triclops.
Not Trapjaw or a merman.
No.
Yeah. When she had the staff of silly string. That was, I think, my favorite weapon.
So
especially because of the way, because it was like the guys like fight, and then you just see this like wood pole poke through between two doors, and all of a sudden it was just like shoom, silly string. The guy. It was so funny.
And there was a scene afterwards where, like, the guy, that poor dude, just had to sit in the background,
string,
while all the stuff happens in the foreground, and just said, like, okay, well, this is my day on set.
Yes, I'm just going to stand here completely coated from head to toe.
Dave and I had seen this movie before together, and I had totally forgotten about that scene.
So,
and I lost my shit when it happened. I'm laughing my ass off, and Jody's in the other room. Are you all right in there? I'm snorting and laughing. And not expecting silly string as a weapon.
Yeah.
And it was neon green silly string, by the way.
Yes,
it was.
So
of course it was.
And there was so much of it at once.
Like, I know.
That had to have been like...
Oh, they emptied a can.
It was like, fuck. Like
that was more than one can.
Or like they might have filled it in or something like that. I don't know what it did, because like you can't spray that much at one time. So like I'm assuming they just kind of sped it up. It was like that, and just like
hit. Or there's 10 people with silly string cans.
That's what it was.
Yeah, okay.
All pointed at him in like 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah.
Well, they did have a $5 million budget, so I'm assuming they had budget for
this. They spent
fire extinguisher
they spent,
full of silly string.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want that so badly
now.
Don't say that shit if it's not true.
That'd be awesome. Millie would love it.
There's got to be instructables
Millie
for that.
Millie loves silly string.
Who doesn't love silly string?
That's because it's awesome.
I know. Mm-hmm,
pretty much.
Okay. The silly string, the glowing sword, with the apparently the tiny baby fist at the end of it.
Right.
The glowing
baby
fist.
That holds the magic rock.
Right. Okay. The repeating crossbow. And then the giant gets a sledgehammer?
He gets a big sledgehammer.
Right.
Because that's what giants use.
Right. And the dwarf gets a whip.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Don't you remember? He's
completely useless. The old
all he does is be a dick and lie to people
and
steal stuff
and
die.
Mm-hmm. And eat
And eats. And like, and there's the scene when he mouths off to Voltar or Zoltan or whatever, like
Jack Palance.
Jack Palance, yeah. Like Zartan and the rest of the guys from Australia.
G.I. Joe reference. G.I. Joe reference.
Like the one thing that he does, like when they're all captured and tied up, is he just mouths off to him and then gets killed, and then everybody treated him like he was a fucking hero. Like, no, that you, all you did was just talk and die. And before that, you stole and lied.
Can I have some food?
Shut up. Bastard.
Not even can I have some food. Like, I'm going to fool you into giving me your food because you're stupid.
Which I didn't understand because I was like, why aren't the nuns feeding him too? Why are the nuns only giving food to the giant for the giant to then get it taken away
from
him?
She brought out enough food thinking it was enough for everybody. And the giant went, well, this is great for me. My friends will love to have some food as well. And he just starts to eat. So.
Okay.
I think that was where that. And then the dwarf
is a dick.
He was enterprising. He found a way to get some food from the giant.
But then, yes. Okay, there's one time when the dwarf already had food and the giant wanted some.
Yeah.
And he tried to, he found a way to fool the giant into not wanting any of it.
Oh, right. That was the turtle eyeballs thing,
yeah.
Right?
He fooled the lizard eyeballs.
Yes. Yes.
He's like, oh no, they're not lizard eyeballs. It's just food. I just don't want to give them any because I'm a dick.
Yeah.
It's a direct quote.
That's what he meant to say.
Stop ruining things for dwarves everywhere. Seriously.
I don't think that's a concern.
I try to keep my, I try to keep cognizant of these things. Like, just representation. Like, that was awkward. Anyway.
I did love in one of those vignettes of look how Hawk is an awesome guy where they went after that hunchback dude who had the slaver,
yeah,
and the way that they took him out was they tied him up and lay him down on the ground and then they hoisted
the mace
up in the over a tree and then they made him hold the rope between his teeth. And it was like, all right, as long as you hold that there, you'll be fine. But, if you don't shut up or whatever, then that's going to... So, of course, the guy, within seconds, loses the rope and it falls down. And the giant's like, some people just can't keep their mouths shut. It's like, all right, that was funny.
That was a good scene.
Yeah. That was a good scene.
I was like, that was funny writing, funny, I just thought that was funny.
The movie was not afraid to kill people.
No.
Because you lost the king at the beginning. Yep. You lost both nuns.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you lost one of the fellowship.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
Two?
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
The elf.
What?
Didn't the elf die?
No.
Fucking missed that.
He was
wounded.
When he walks in, he's like, and then the fellowship is like, he'll heal fine in the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did we lose three nuns?
So the dwarf, what about the one-headed guy?
Oh, I think he died too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the one-headed guy died.
Yeah, he died in the snowstorm.
Yeah.
yeah. Did he die in the snowstorm or did he, okay? Anyway. So two of them died. So the dwarf and the one-headed guy, who went on to be Elvira's
uncle. I was just thinking, this is a little Game of Thrones going on here. You're not afraid to kill people.
It
doesn't matter who you were.
Right. And I think there were three nuns that were killed. Right.
Maybe. Frankly,
I don't know. Trust me.
Paid just enough attention.
Yeah. There was bad nun who betrayed them.
Yeah, the second drugged the giant.
So, of course, she was going to die.
Right. And then there one of the nuns.
The head nun then died.
Oh, one of the nuns died defending the giant.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Was it the giant or was it the
one? It was the giant.
It was the giant because he
like watch out.
Like,
she took the bullet.
Little
she took
lady.
The bullet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he went nuts and murdered a bunch of people, apparently.
Right.
That's what giants do.
But I was thinking about that scene where the slaver, the hunchback, has to suspend his own mace and hold it by his teeth. Otherwise, if he opens his mouth, it falls in his face.
Right.
If you think about it, he was going to die. They were going to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was okay, well, you better hold on to that until somebody helps you. No one's going to help you.
Right.
We are killing you, except we're just going to make it really fun for us, because that's gross.
Because we're the heroes.
Right.
That does not detract from my enjoyment of that scene at all. Like, I think that's fucking awesome.
It was clever.
But I'm also kind of gross myself.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Jack Palance. Voltron. Voltan.
I know.
Damn it. after the first nun, the first convent scene, is looking for help or something and goes to the hunchback area right toward the beginning. And he kills somebody flat out because he gives him lip.
Wait, there's a tavern scene and like you stand.
It's an outdoor tavern scene.
And like you dare continue eating while
Zartan and the rest
of his dreadnoughts.
You should be standing
or
up or whatever, right. And they're like, nobody tell you what to do except the guy who
kills. It was a shame moment.
Yes, it certainly was.
Yes, I forgot about that.
It absolutely was. But at that point, he says, "You need to stand." Blah blah blah. You're being disrespectful.
Right.
And the dude gives him lip about, "You don't own this.
Hmm.
You don't own me," or something.
Right.
And Voltan says, "I own everything. I own the ground you walk on, the sky above your head, and everything."
Yeah.
So why are you so concerned about 2,000 gold pieces?
See, this is a plot point that I was thinking about the entire movie.
That's the one that just drives me crazy.
He didn't care about the gold pieces. He was using that as an excuse to draw out Hawk.
He had no idea where Hawk was.
That was my only guess. And that was the one thing that would have made sense is like, I don't care about the Abbey or the convent.
If
I don't care about the gold.
Been friends with Hawk?
They were, because the abbot, remember when they talked to him, was like, "I know a man. He's Hawk."
True, he said that to the one-handed man as
right. Because
searching for Hawk. Right.
Well, the one-handed man was searching for a way to find help for the nuns. So he went to the abbot.
That's true.
And the abbot said, "I know a man, Hawk."
Yeah.
So that's where the connection is. I think that, I mean, in my head.
So
what
then
made...
Voltan, I know.
It
Jack Palance already knows that Hawk is friends with the abbot.
Right.
And so he goes and harasses the abbey, thinking that then they will call to the abbot for help, and he will say, "Oh, Hawk will help you."
That would have made sense, but I don't think they actually connected it, did they? Officially?
I don't think so.
I don't think that they ever...
They didn't come back around, because it didn't cross my mind.
They just went, "Jack Palance, you're bad.
Right.
Hawk, you're good. Go."
Yeah.
Yeah. Make everything else up.
Yeah.
Like, "Jack Palance, you did something bad to Hawk, and
well,
then Hawk
with
did
all the
bad
acting and all the bad plot, that was the only one that really bothered me. The rest is like whatever.
I felt like there was underlying like background plot that they kept hinting at, but they didn't delve into. And maybe had it been successful, and they had done a sequel or the trilogy or whatever, you would have found that out. So I had this thought about. This was kind of my underlying trying to understand the plot. When Jack Palance first comes in the very first scene and kills Dad, he's demanding something from Dad. There's some mystical, magical thing he's demanding from Dad.
He wanted the sword. He wanted that elf mind stone or something.
He wanted the mind sword.
But he seemed to believe that it, as the oldest... Because I think that's why he says he's the eldest son.
Yes.
Because, you know, we would have been confused otherwise.
I'm 50 years your senior.
Right.
Hey, Dad, remember when I used to tuck you into bed when you were a kid?
But it was like, he says that it's like his birthright. It's what he's owed. It's what whatever.
And he says that at the end, too.
Right. And then there's in the flashbacks.
The wife.
There's the wife, and then in the very first flashback, they've just gotten married. Hawk and the wife have just gotten married, and he's like, "She was my girlfriend. She should have been with me. You know, she was my betrothed or whatever." And she's kind of like, "Buddy, we were just
like it
friends.
Was an arranged marriage,
or something." Because she even makes the comment, "We were just friends."
Yeah.
Like she friend zoned you, and you weren't taking it. But he was off. I felt like his backstory was that he had done everything he was supposed to do as that diligent oldest child.
Right.
And then, but he was either not very good at it or was just kind of shitty with his attitude or whatever. So Dad sort of turned his favor to the significantly younger child. And you know, so he got all the glory and the attention, whatever, and it's like, that's what made him evil. I sort of felt like it was like a little, like, Darth Vader-y sort of storyline there.
So that would have been his character arc, is like he was the dutiful son, but kept getting passed over for one reason or another.
Something, yeah.
And then,
because he's old.
Right, he's been passed over many times.
Yeah. King dies, and he's gonna die.
I forgot to say he was born before his dad. I mean,
right?
I'd be freaking angry about that, too.
Like his uncle dad or something. So, yeah, I don't know, like, because they kept bringing it up, but whenever I see, especially these kind of movies, where you get that tidbit of something, it always makes me wonder, what else did you guys film that didn't make it into the movie that maybe should have? Especially when I see a movie that has, that's this caliber of movie with this caliber of quality, you know, or like, and then, but it has actors that are decent actors. It's like, there's no way, if scene by scene by scene by scene, that these guys weren't like, this is shit, right? You guys, this is shit, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there had to be something that there was more to it for them to agree to sign on to it, to do it, to whatever. So, I don't know. And again, maybe they got the whole trilogy of a storyline and they were like, oh, this is going to be great. And when they chopped it into just one movie, it was like, yeah, okay, that's not so good.
Well,
I don't know.
I think that...
I don't know. It's paycheck.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, at that point, like, they're also tradesmen.
Well,
and it's a craft.
With some of them, yes.
Even
like,
Hollywood stars are, you know,
John Terry, because he was so young. But Morgan Shepherd, it's like...
Has been around for a while.
Yeah, he's,
right,
he's already... Like,
been around for a while.
He was
yeah.
in his 50s already, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just, I mean, some guys just want to work. Like, Christopher Walken, as much as I love him, he just works. I mean, as long as
yeah.
it's not complete garbage, like, he'll do it. I mean, it might be almost complete garbage, but he'll do it. But he just keeps going. I mean, I don't know what Jack Palance was doing up to that point.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I don't...
I think he was a little past his Western days. I think the Westerns had died out
yeah.
in the
70s. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, he
yeah,
might
maybe.
Have just been picked up by Ripley's and taken that. That
yeah.
was a TV job.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, money's money. I mean, he had... I mean, I know that he didn't live in Hollywood. I think he had... I think he lived, like, in the country somewhere.
Probably lived on a mountaintop.
Right, well, like, Man, Montana.
Northern California
or something.
Throwing lightning bolts down.
Yeah. I am Poseidon, god of the sea.
He shits
I drown sailors. But I have a feeling that a lot of this was a paycheck. Not that people weren't excited about working or doing stuff... I don't know that the actors were really proud of this work. Although some of them obviously put more effort into it than others.
Yeah.
Like, Jennifer Aniston was in the first Leprechaun movie.
Jennifer Aniston?
Aniston, what'd I say?
Anderson.
Anderson and Aniston.
Yes,
sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, paycheck.
Yeah.
Equity card.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that, like, you know, they don't do a good job. I mean, they just do their job. They
right.
do it well. But,
right.
I mean, they
right.
are they're mercenaries. I mean, they work for what they
mm-hmm.
have to do. And they're just good at what they
technically
do.
Technically self-employed. So, yeah.
yeah.
Anyway.
So, I don't know. I'd like to... I know I would like to think that most actors, they really care about the work they do. And, like, as far as, like, how it speaks to them and how it speaks to whoever's going to be viewing it. But also, at the same time, like... How passionate do you think that jingle singers feel about singing jingles? Like, do they feel like there's their hearts in it? And the same, like, you know.
I don't know.
What about all the people in Sharknado?
I think they're signed on for that 100%.
Cashing in.
They know what they're doing in that. Because that's a successful example.
The first one was a phenomenon. The first one was an anomaly, I should say.
Right, but that, right.
Of ridiculousness that everybody's like, fine, I'm sold.
Right, right. Purposely bad.
And then people are signing on because...
Well, yeah,
it's
because it's
funny,
Sharknado.
Because I'm going to get eaten
right,
by a shark.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on Hawk the Slayer, folks?
I'm glad there wasn't a sequel.
Even though
my
what did you say earlier?
So apparently this movie has quite a cult following.
Now, there was originally going to be a trilogy, however.
Right. There was in 2000. I didn't see. You said 2009. I didn't see anything about 2009. But 2015, there was a Kickstarter that their goal was to get
$5 million.
$5 million. No, it was. It was $5 million.
Seriously?
Yeah. Their goal was to get $5 million, and they brought in, because I was looking at images from it, they brought in the guy that played...
They wheel in Jack Palance.
No, it wasn't. No.
He's only been dead for 11 years.
Right. I would dust him off. No, but it was two of the actors from the movie. It was.
Could have been one of the skeletons.
The giant. No, it was the giant.
Is he still alive? Gort? I remember the giant's name because it was named Gort from. I remember that.
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up again. But there were. It was two of the Fellowship.
No,
and it wasn't the guy that was on Lost, and it wasn't.
It wasn't Hawk.
It wasn't Hawk, and obviously it wasn't Jack Palance because he wasn't part of the Fellowship as we called it.
I'm not sure.
But it was two of those people, and they were pitching it. Like they were. It was probably their video that was the Kickstarter, and the goal was to get $5 million in to make a sequel, but it was an unsuccessful Kickstarter.
That's a big Kickstarting goal.
I want to know if they were going to just write a new one that is the sequel to this, or if they had like the script that was part two, you know, like if they knew.
Well, the article that I read said that the original sequel to this movie was supposed to be called Hawk the Destroyer,
right?
And the Kickstarter movie was going to be called Hawk the Hunter. So my guess is it is a different
all new
script.
There's a blog page out there about Hawk the Hunter that
I
came across, and it's not updated.
So is Hawk the Destroyer going to be the one
with Arnold?
With Grace Jones?
Yeah.
That was a terrible joke. Nobody laughed. Well, it's not that funny. They can't all be gems.
That I thought was weird about this movie too, that I didn't understand, and it definitely felt shoehorned in, was the weird witch in the red bubble that eased his burn pain.
Oh, I didn't even want to talk about that because it was so weird.
It just didn't even make
sense. Jack Palance had his face burned when he was younger, and that's why he wore that dark...
The Darth Vader helmet?
Yeah,
Hawk's
wife.
The scene where he kills her.
And the pain never eases up, and so the wizard would heal it. And I think was going to play
short
really...
short periods of time.
Right, for short periods of time. Just like the pharmaceutical industry, you know, they can
I was like, what?
I could cure it, but I get more money by treating it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. They can treat it, but they can't cure it, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, but that had to have played into the second part two.
It had to.
Because at the very end, we've got Voltan, Voltron. I almost said it. All laid out dead on the table, and this wizard that's been healing, like making his face feel better, shows up and says,
"You're not.
We have need of you yet, Dark One. Your death sleep will not last long." And then it carries it off and disappears into the fireplace or whatever. Flu powder, obviously.
Right.
What?
That's so funny. One of the guys that was the Fellowship of the Ring in this, I don't know if it was the dwarf or the elf,
was in Harry Potter.
Aha!
Oh, really?
He plays a
nothing character, but
He interacted with Harry, though, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
Really?
He's one of the photographers from the paper that saves him from a crowd of people.
You would never know.
Keeps him away from reading.
No, not at all. Because he doesn't even have like a photo on his own IMDb page. Like that's somebody else has, like, you know, someone who's a fan of this movie figured it out, put it together on the internet. So
you get the internet.
There was, although the best line of the entire movie, was one of the nuns was arguing, like, no, you should just pay him the money, and then he'll pay him and leave, and then he'll leave us alone. He'll leave us in peace. And then Crow, the elf, walks into the foreground.
The peace of death.
What? That stopped everything.
Yeah.
I was like, no, like, record scratch. like, oh, this is awesome. And I actually rewound it just to hear him deliver that line again. It was awesome. Because he was supposed to be like the one that didn't speak much, but when he said stuff, it was kind of profound.
Right.
Or at least like about to do something badass.
He sounded like a Muppet.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded like somebody had him by the balls the entire time.
Grover and Ernie.
Yeah. But I guess the whole idea was the elf was supposed to be like this kind of badass guy who doesn't say much, but when he says something, it means something. And
it didn't work.
The piece of death. Like, that just sucked. It sucked so bad that I had to watch it over.
The guy did not have a presence at all.
No.
No,
I want to watch it.
Muppet
I really want to watch it now.
Okay, well, you
I'm
watch,
not going to.
Well, you watch that. if we're gonna put this thing to bed, How about we get a beer before we do some ratings, and then maybe we'll talk about some news.
Yeah, sure. Yes, please. Great.
Sound good? Okay, we're gonna go grab a beer, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
And we are back with our second beer of the night, and this is kind of special. Here, pour your own damn glasses of beer.
Make you do stuff.
All right, cool kids.
Okay. Ooh, triple hop.
Again, this is from the Duval Brewery. Oh, that's a beautiful sound. And this is their 2016 triple hop. And they've been doing this triple hop version of their Belgian Golden since 2007, and every year they change the third hop varietal. So each year it's a little bit different. This in particular is HBC 291 for you super nerds out there. I am not a super nerd, and I don't know what the hell that means.
So are we not sure what HBC means?
No. Hop by committee. No, I don't know what it means, and I don't have time to look it up. Frankly, I don't care that much. All I know is that it's from 2016. This should be, if I did read right, this should be the varietal where there is a Citra hop added. They hold a contest or something, and this was the favorite. So they are, I think it's a limited edition. It says experimental hop. HBC 291. Anyway, I've not had this. I've never seen it until the other day, and I had to go grab it. Citra hops are just what it kind of sounds like. Citra hop would be very juicy, very citrus-like. On that spectrum of the hop flavor profile versus a more earthy, grainy, grass-like flavor, more medicine-y of the other scope. Probably like your, I'm not going to say it right. I that's kind of where your hops sit. They'll sit more on the juicy citrus side, or they'll sit on your more earthy, granular, grass kind of flavors.
I'm not getting a lot of like juicy though from this one. It's really kind of sharp.
It is. It's very acidic.
Hmm.
But it's also very cold right now. Yeah. I should have pulled these out a while ago.
Now I drink a lot of the super citrusy hoppy beers, you know, like Columbus Brewing Company's IPA and pale ale. Like they use really citrusy hops. So this is maybe just I go that direction quite a bit.
Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was looking.
It was a
it's a varietal.
Yeah, it's a hop varietal made by the hop breeding company. Hop breeding company.
Well,
they breed hops.
There you go.
HBC, and so there's like four or something or other, like it's a three digit denotation. I'm not exactly sure, like HBC 291.
It's Hop Brewing Company Varietal 291.
Something like that.
There you go.
Sure.
Dave is the winner tonight of the Beer Nerd Cap.
Where's that big one from the one we did earlier?
Yeah,
we can take that one home.
Yeah.
There's your prize!
There's your prize!
Yay! I'm going to write about this in my diary tonight. No, well, I mean, none of us profess to be beer experts. We do love beer, all of us. Some of us are more experienced and are more knowledgeable about beer than others. I myself am not one of them. But I'm always willing to learn about a lot about this stuff, and I enjoy beer. I enjoy not only the obvious effects of beer, but just enjoying it for what it is. And a lot of people who don't like beer, I have a feeling they're maybe approaching it in a different way. They should be approaching it in a different way.
Right.
And for anybody who's listening out there who's a beer expert, understand we're not experts. Yeah. We just,
we're mostly dumbasses.
Yeah. We drink good beer because we like it. We try to explain why we like them or why we don't like them.
We know enough to be wrong.
Yes.
Very wrong. However, tasting beer, no one is ever actually wrong. You right. taste what Correct. You taste, you like what you like.
Right.
So if and Miller Lite is what you like, that's mm-hmm. great. I applaud you, sir.
Right.
Or ma'am. However, if you don't try anything else but Miller Lite ever, I find fault in that.
Right.
I think you are selling yourself and your taste buds short by not trying anything else. And I don't mean a Bud Light outside of a Miller Lite. I mean, right. try some more. Try something right. else. You can't always have cereal for dinner.
Right.
You should have steak and chicken and salmon. And you should have
right.
IPAs and Belgian Strongs and alt beers and all sorts of fun things. Try them all. Find out what you don't like. And go from mm-hmm. there. It is a much more fun journey, as is anything, even bad movies, where oh. you're taking the journey with someone.
Mm.
Where yes. that someone can hold your hand and kind of guide you through why this person likes these. And the guide is a very good guide if they ask you good questions.
Mm-hmm.
If they lead you to a certain conclusion. What do you taste?
Mm-hmm.
Do you taste this? Do you taste that? And these are the sort of things that I would ask a new beer drinker or a person who hasn't tried a certain flavor. Hey, I know what this is going to taste like. And I'm going to start asking you questions like, do you taste cinnamon? Do you taste banana? Do yeah. you taste...
Horse blanket.
Horse blanket. That's great. Yeah. yeah.
Leather or limes
mm-hmm.
or...
Mm-hmm. Do you taste paper? Because that could be a sign of infection.
Right.
There's all sorts of different questions you can ask to lead your companion down or should be led.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have someone sit me down with wine
mm.
who knows good wine and has the pocketbook to afford the wines and to convince me that the $7 bottle of wine is in fact inferior to the $150 bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it. Now, I know tequila
mm-hmm.
along with many other liquors like that, yes, there is a significant difference at times, although I did have a very expensive tequila recently that was horrendous. And if I could remember what the hell it was embarrassing how bad it was.
We gotta discuss that later.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
But
the cod downstairs kicks the shit out of it.
Experiences are obviously subjective. People are gonna like one thing and not another. And the people who... This is a judgment-free zone, so if you drink one beer and that's all you like, whether it's, you know, Miller Lite or Coors Light or Guinness or you know, Chimay or something like that, if that's all you drink, that's fine and there's no fault in that. But if that's all you drink and you consider everything else to be bad or inferior because it's not what you like,
you're wrong.
Then maybe it's you're being unfair, because like, if steak is your favorite food, of course, because it's awesome. But if you judge all other foods by whether or not they're steak, you will be disappointed in anything else you eat.
Hmm.
And
right, it's the fish climbing the tree syndrome.
Exactly. I think that the movies that we watch, and we do call them bad movies because they're fucking bad, but that's not the same thing as not enjoying them.
Mm.
Like, yeah. The one we watched today, Hawk the Slayer, I love Hawk the Slayer. I also realize it's a stupid, stupid movie, and it fails in so many ways, but I love it. I like this movie for a lot of reasons that we think we've already gone over.
So liking this movie,
mm-hmm.
our rating system here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night is 1 to 6 beers based on a 6-pack rating. If you give a movie a 1 beer, you've actually enjoyed it, and it would take 0 to 1 beers for you to enjoy this movie. So let's say, for instance, Star Wars, if we all are Star Wars fans, or at least enjoy the film, I don't need any beers to get through Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have 3 or 4 anyway, but I don't need anything.
They're not
to
required.
Help, right, right. I don't need anything to help me get through the film. However, something like Planet
Phantom
from
Menace.
Outer Space or Phantom Menace. Oh, that's very
yeah.
good. So Phantom Menace is so terrible that
so
if I don't have at least 5 beers, the movie I might gore my eyes out. So the worst movie you can think of is a 6-beer movie. A great movie is a 1-beer movie. So Dave, since you do like this,
I think. This is a 1-beer movie.
Wow.
Really?
And I will explain why. Okay. Everything fell short. Everything. The production value, the performances, the writing, everything was not great. However, that's not the same thing as it being a complete catastrophe that's completely unenjoyable. The production quality, if it was tweaked a little bit, I believe that they could have used the resources they had with a bit of creativity to have made this a really good movie. There were some accomplished actors in this. I would say that almost everybody in the movie was probably a relatively good actor. I believe that the director probably didn't put enough effort into getting better performances out of them. Maybe it was to do with the writing was really bad. But whatever the case, there were some breakdowns on a lot of things. I realize I'm not making a good case for me liking this movie. So let me see
so,
for a
so
moment
you
there.
You liked it.
I like poop. No, I liked the movie because I'm a sucker for like movies like Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, or those movies where you have an ensemble cast of people of very, very, very varied or disparate or very different backgrounds, all with their own specialties and their own personalities, getting together and, you know, accomplishing a goal that none of them would have been able to do individually. And so, in this case, it was basically the same plot as The Magnificent Seven. It was a group of people who came together just to defend a group of people who couldn't defend themselves. And there were some ridiculous subplots, but I will always like that sort of storyline. And even without the actual storyline, just the group of like misfits together, I'll always like that, like Red Dawn and the Goonies and, you know, Dirty Dozen, all that stuff. I love stuff like that. So that's why I liked it. It hit those notes and I was pretty forgiving after that. Like, as long as they didn't completely fuck it up, they didn't... You know what? I should just stop while I'm ahead because I can't make a stronger case than that.
You like what you like.
Well,
yeah,
I think
you
that's
might be
a really
wrong,
good,
but you might like what you
I
like.
Think that's a strong case for this because I also like the let's all come together and solve the problem kind of thing. Like, I enjoy...
Like caper movies, like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, like, I enjoy a thing like that in the movie. I also think that you made a really good point earlier. I don't know if it was before we started recording or not, where you talked about if this movie is more... I'm sorry.
This is good radio. We'll post that on the Instagram account.
Yes.
Dave's
milk mustache here.
Dave has head on his upper lip.
My mom's real proud of me. Well, you were saying something about,
I was saying
about
that I agree with your point that you brought up earlier, that this movie in particular is probably more enjoyable in a crowd.
Yes.
Than on your own.
Yeah. By yourself, it's just you and this turd of a movie.
Right.
But if you have two or three, four people...
This is the first time I saw it with you and a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
We had a blast. This is one of the best. We go back to this one frequently talking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is one of the best good beer, bad movie basement nights.
Yeah.
That I've ever hosted. It was.
That might have had more to do with the beer
it
than
all,
the good.
We honestly, I well, yeah. Actually,
well, but
actually,
like,
yeah.
If you're
we
watching a movie like
drinking.
This, and you know the scene that we talked about where they drop the mace on that guy's face. You're going to get a huge reaction out of a crowd of people watching that, which is then going to increase the size of the reaction that each person is having. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I definitely think that some of these movies that we watch could be better in a crowd because you get that group experience. There's another level to this kind of thing when you're in that group experience.
And it,
so, I'm more likely to stay awake in that scenario.
But, for your listeners who aren't aware, Kathleen has a hard time staying awake for these movies, mostly because I personally think that she just kind of wants to shut her brain off and not have to subject yourself to this in a conscious state?
There's not enough story to keep me interested. That's what my problem was.
That's why we watch these, for the story.
Yeah.
I told you when we started this. So for me, I will say that this is probably a 3-beer movie.
So. Wow, that's less than I thought it would. I'm like, honestly,
more generous than I was expecting.
It's 4 for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things about this movie that's like, they're trying to do something and failing so miserably at it. Like, the trying to make Hawk seem cool just did not work. It didn't work. It was fail. Which can be fun, but I think that they failed so badly. And I don't know. And, like, the only thing that Jack Palance just, like, hamming it up. Like, yeah. I could not stop looking at his mouth. Because he was just, like, his mouth was, like, curled into a sneer and, like, giant. And just, like, he was just chewing the words as he spoke. It was just fascinating. And, like, overall, it was a mess. And, 4 beers would be about right.
I will echo that one. And from experience, the first time I watched this movie last week, Stone Cold Sober.
Mm. Oh, yes. And I got your text.
It was it was an effort. And I sat down and watched it Monday night again, just 2 nights ago. Mm-hmm. And I was 4 beers in before I started it. I tell you, I liked it a whole lot more. I was literally 4 beers.
So it's literally the application of 4 beers allowed you to enjoy this.
4 beers before I started the movie. And it was a whole lot more fun.
Maybe that's what I need to start
so
doing too.
That is definitely a 4 beer. Well, I only knew that because I saw it the first time. Like, oh my God, I get through this again.
Right.
And I kept putting it off. And 4 beers later, I was like, fine, I'll fucking watch a goddamn movie again. And yeah, 4 beers. It was much better. We've got our reviews in.
Yep.
So let's put this one to bed. Good night, Hawk the Slayer.
It'll be fine.
Oh, but if anybody's out there still listening, watch Hawk the Slayer. Don't watch it alone, and have beer on
hand. We have to wrap this up, guys. We've gone a little longer than we had hoped, but episode 1, yay!
Yay!
My God, it's in the can. So. Let's let everybody know how they can get a hold of us if they want to tell us how bad we suck, or if we should,
or if you have any insights on the beer that we drank, or
correct us when we're wrong.
Or
please correct us if we're wrong.
Or movie suggestions that you would like to make, or beer suggestions that we think you think that we should do, or if you just want to see goofy pictures of us doing silly things when we're podcasting. You can follow us on Instagram at GBBMN Podcast. That's all one word. It stands for Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Podcast on Instagram. And our Twitter feed is the exact same thing, at GBBMN Podcast.
If you found this, you know how to get a hold of us, spread the word, all that good stuff. Did you see email?
I did not say email.
Email us at goodbeer, or excuse me, G. Fuck me.
That's not what it is.
GB fuck me.
mnpodcast@gmail.com.
So the same as our Twitter and Instagram.
Yes. So we're consistent at least. We're consistently difficult. We're going to wrap it up here, folks. Thank you so much for listening.
And goodbye.
We'll see you next time.